Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The government this morning reported on the prices that consumers paid for goods and services last month, and the report was just as gloomy as everyone had expected. CBS News business correspondent Ray Brady examines the figures.
The Labor Department says the skyrocketing cost of beef has sent consumer prices up by their biggest increase in more than a year. Those prices went up last month by 0.9%. An increase that means inflation over the past 3 months has been running at a double-digit annual rate of 10%, well ahead of the inflation rate for last year. Beef prices alone rose by 6.6% in April, but the index also recorded higher prices for lettuce, up 30%, as well as for fruits, vegetables, poultry, and dairy products. While food prices have been rising for several months, this report shows their prices now are starting to accelerate and rise even faster. The figures also show that homeowners are continuing to get hit by inflation. The cost of owning a home went up by 0.9% last month. The cost of home financing, taxes, and insurance rose 1.75%. Home maintenance and repair services went up 1.4%. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
President Carter's personal pollster, Patrick Cadell, maintains that the cost of living figures will not become a major political issue this year. The country, he says, doesn't seem greatly concerned over any sets of particular issues that we tend to think dominate public attention, including inflation. Leaders of the North Atlantic Alliance are holding final talks today in their Washington summit, and we'll hear about them from Mike Pappas.
The NATO summit conference ends today with the expected approval of a long-term $80 billion plan to modernize NATO defenses to counter the Russian buildup in Eastern Europe. But the defense plan, the main official business of the summit, is taking a backseat to communist involvement in Africa as a main topic of conversation among leaders of the alliance. In a news conference following yesterday's opening sessions, Secretary of State Vance said the NATO leaders expressed concern over spreading Soviet and Cuban influence on the continent and suggested the United States might take some action, possibly economic, against Cuba because of that involvement. Vance did not go into detail. The Secretary of State also said NATO nations were urged to take a more direct and active role in the settlement of disputes in Africa through peaceful negotiations, not military action. Vance said, however, the United States might be willing to provide some economic and non-combat aid to a multi-nation Pan-African defense force, which is now being discussed. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Washington.
The Kremlin is naturally keeping a sharp eye on those developments at the Washington summit, and today it accuses NATO of plotting ways of suppressing black African independence movements. Bernard Redmont has details.
The charge is made by the Soviet Communist Party newspaper Pravda. The paper asserts that the question of crushing any manifestation of national independence of the African peoples is specifically being discussed at the NATO conference. Pravda also makes its second attack in 2 days on President Carter's national security advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski. The Soviet Daily again accuses Brzezinski of fabrications in his statements about Soviet and Cuban intrusions into Africa. Pravda claims that it's common knowledge that the U.S. is the mastermind behind armed intervention in Zaire. According to Pravda, Soviet and Cuban involvement is a myth, while American warplanes and Belgian and French paratroopers are a reality. Pravda also notes Brzezinski's reference to Chinese criticism of the Soviet and Cuban role in Africa and comments that the president's advisor is still sort of intoxicated from his visit to Peking. Bernard Redmont, CBS News, Moscow.
Soviet President Leonid Brezhnev this morning charged that the Belgian and French intervention in Zaire has damaged East-West détente. Addressing a communist rally in Prague, Brezhnev said some political circles are openly trying to return, if not to the Cold War, then at least to a lukewarm war. Live radio and television coverage of the Brezhnev speech was interrupted in mid-sentence for reasons not clear. Soviet officials in Moscow blame technical difficulties. The first contingent of Moroccan troops has arrived in Zaire's Shaba province. They're expected to help the Zairean armed forces maintain security after the final withdrawal of French and Belgian paratroops. So many other world problems are now commanding attention that the Middle East seems temporarily becalmed. Richard C. Hotlett reports that the UN Security Council is acting today in routine fashion on an issue that not long ago was charged with high drama.
The council meets briefly and quietly today to extend the mandate of the UN peacekeeping force on the Golan Heights. This contingent of 1,250 men from four countries, known as UNDOF, has stood between the Syrian and Israeli armies for the past 4 years. In that time, there has not been a serious incident on what is probably Israel's most sensitive front. Syria has taken a harder line on peace than Jordan and Egypt, and has sharply opposed President Sadat's initiative. In past years, Syria tried to use the semi-annual extension of the UNDOF mandate to put pressure on Israel. But the past few times, Damascus has been quiet, and today there is full tacit agreement to keep the force in place. One reason may be that Syria has its hands full and more keeping the peace in Lebanon and trying to help form an effective government there. In this effort, it depends heavily on the presence of the UN force in southern Lebanon and also on Israel's willingness to cool things down. Syria is not in a position to antagonize anyone. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
Egyptian President Sadat told reporters yesterday in Cairo that the next 2 months will determine the success or failure of his peace initiative. Sadat said Egypt stands ready to resume the peace talks when Israel comes up with new ideas. The talks were broken off in January, and Sadat asserted that Israel has not changed its position since then. The House of Representatives today is considering a measure calling for tuition tax credits. Mariah McLaughlin tells us about it.
The legislation would allow parents of college students to claim up to $100 in tax credits for the school term beginning next August, and up to $250 a year by 1980. Supporters of the bill argue that the tuition tax credits are a simple, direct, and effective way to help families faced with the rising cost of college tuition. Opponents argue a far more efficient way to assist middle-class families would be to expand existing federal aid programs. That's what President Carter wants to do, and he has said he would veto any tuition tax credit legislation. One of the most controversial amendments to be considered by the House is one which would make tuition at private elementary and secondary schools eligible for the tax credits. Opponents of that proposal claim its passage would be the death knell of public education. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Washington.
Democratic Senator William Proxmire this morning says the military's all-volunteer concept may not be able to survive unless some barriers are lifted to bring more women into the armed forces. The chairman of the Senate Banking Committee says the services are clearly doing a better job of opening up job opportunities to women, but many obstacles remain, and he thinks they've got to be removed before women have genuinely equal opportunities in the military service. Italy today is talking about a scandal in the operatic world. Sherry Gilbert reports from Rome.
Key personalities of Italy's opera world began their second day in jail today in a spreading financial scandal that involves charges of extortion, corruption, and fraud. Early yesterday, Italian fiscal police struck simultaneously in six Italian cities where they arrested 29 persons associated with some of Italy's most prestigious opera houses or with the country's theatrical agencies. The result of a two-year investigation, the new scandal involves reported illegal methods used by Italy's state-subsidized opera houses to hire Italian and foreign singers. A 1967 law abolished the theatrical agencies, but opera houses here have continued to use them because the law's provisions for a state theatrical agency have never been implemented. The arrests, which include well-known top officials of the Rome Opera, of La Scala in Milan, of Naples' San Carlo Opera House, and of Venice's La Fenice, is also acquiring political overtones. This is because many of those arrested are leftists who got their jobs after the 1975 local elections in which the left won control of most major Italian cities. Shari Gilbert for CBS News, Rome.
The terrorist tactic known as kneecapping, long familiar in Italy, materialized this morning in West Berlin, apparently for the first time. A lawyer assigned as defense counsel in the trial of five terrorists against their wishes was shot in the legs on a street in the American sector. He was taken to a hospital where his injuries are described as not serious. The man who shot him escaped.